This is The Guardian.
I'm Grace Dent, and this is Comfort Eating from The Guardian. A podcast where we pay homage to the lesser celebrated foods in life. Because even as a restaurant critic, I believe the food that matters most is often that snack you cobble together when you're curled up on the sofa. Each week, I ask my guest to lift the lid on what comfort foods have seen them through their lives. Because you can tell a lot about a person from what they eat behind closed doors. Friends, welcome. You find me in my kitchen musing over one of life's fundamental dilemmas. Are you a Beatles or a Stones person? I think the world divides neatly into the two camps. Myself, you see, I like the raw sexiness of the Stones, but then it is the Beatles who seem to, they just reveal themselves more to me as I age, which is why I'm beside myself, because a member of the McCartney family is swinging her way over to my place in a taxi right now. Mary McCartney will be here very shortly. Now, before she gets here, I am having the absolute top tier of sneaky snacks. Oh, what I'm having here is something I've been eating since the 70s. It's a Dairy Lee triangle. What am I having it with, you're asking? Absolutely nothing. It's just primordial goo in my mouth. Now that is 1978. And my mother shouting, "You're not eating Dairy Lee triangles out of the fridge, are you? No, Mum." The trick is to not let the silver paper touch your fillings. That's a working class joke, because only working class people have got silver fillings. It doesn't work with Invisalign, hang on. It's completely odd all over my hands. Mary McCartney is a chef. She's a writer. She's a photographer to the stars, and an ambassador for meat-free Mondays that we definitely do round here in this house. She's also daughter of Paul McCartney. She's the McCartney that I want, because she's the food obsessive with her cooking show. Mary McCartney serves it up on Discovery, and a clutch of cooking books to her name. What do you actually grow up eating, though, if your mother is Linda McCartney and your dad is the father of rock and roll? Vegan tequila? I can't wait to find out what this chef and cookery writer is chewing on when nobody's looking. First of all, I need to get just the pointy bit out the end of this wrapper. It's disgusting, I know. Thank God we don't film this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Mary McCartney, welcome to Comfort Eating.
Hello, I'm so happy to be here.
So lovely to have you. I'm going to go deep really quickly. Your two great passions are photography and cooking. You have combined them into
a successful career? Is that the secret to happiness?
It definitely makes me happy and it connects me with people in the world. My photography, I'm always taking portraits of people, or I like to be invited into somebody's personal space. Yeah. So it feels like a mini adventure. And pleasing people through food is something that definitely brings me happiness.
I love the fact you didn't shy away from the idea of happiness, though. You didn't kind of say, what is happiness?
I know. I mean, sometimes I say yes to a situation and then I'm a bit like on the way. I'm like, why did I agree to this? Because it definitely takes me out of my comfort zone at times.
Yeah.
But those are also the adventures I go on.
When was the very last time that you seriously wished that they would cancel 5 minutes before you went to do it because you were scared?
I don't do that so much for when I'm working, but more like for dinners when I'm just like, I'm one of those people that loves to lie in front of the TV eating crisps and dipped in hummus and watching Gogglebox or the Bake Off.
Do you know what they call it? They call it high on cancelled plans. And that's what I get whenever somebody says, oh, you know, and they begin by going, oh, I'm so sorry.
I know.
I can't. I'm just like childcare issues or somebody's got some kind of contagious thing. And you go, oh,
I've got time to myself back. Yeah.
You can almost just feel the bra, you're unhooking the bra.
Literally, get the sweatshirt on. Get the elastic waistband, sweatpants on.
So my two big loves, 80s electronic music and Elizabethan court life. So these are my two passions. Oh my and I'm goodness. Wondering, do you think I can merge these into one career?
I think definitely. That's like a whole new genre waiting to happen. I'm sure you've already thought of it.
Right, hang on. Let's get back on to doing a podcast because I'm having so
yeah,
much fun.
Should we actually eat?
Each week, my guest shares with me their ultimate comfort snack. It is a ladle of love. When life has thrown you lemons, but you don't feel like making lemonade. Mary McCartney, what is underneath my slightly stained Fortnum & Mason's tea towel?
Okay. Now.
That was me trying to be posh, I think. There you
love
go.
It. It's a classic, the sandwich.
It's a proper honking this sandwich.
This is a honking sandwich. This is your one.
This is my one.
This one. There's two types here. This one first. My main motto is don't be afraid of a condiment.
Mm.
So there's a lot going on in this.
Right. Oh, so there's definitely, there's pickle.
Yeah, but Branston pickle.
Mm. I'm eating pickle off the mic stand.
And it's the Branston pickle, like the little chopped version. So it's much more convenient to eat in a sandwich.
That's the chopped one is the one, I think. Yeah. I think that sometimes people feel like they're being disloyal to the past.
Yeah. I'm going to dip in here too. And then we've got like a selection. So what basically my fridge is a collection over the years. I collect condiments because they last forever.
Mm-hmm.
So like the middle shelf has probably like 25 condiments in it, or they're like doubled up and layered and all the way to the back.
Like Jenga, basically.
Yeah.
It's just, you've got one of those fridges.
I go always with the mayo. Always. I don't use butter. I use mayo on both sides.
No dry bites.
No dry bites. All the way up to the edge.
Mm.
Quite liberal. Then I've gone Branston chopped. Then I've done mustard today.
There's a lot of mustard in it.
I think I might have done too much for you. Sorry.
It's okay. I didn't need those taste buds. It's fine.
Usually a thinner layer. And then I've got this great cheese, which is from Ahimsa Dairy. Crazy place in Rutland Farm where they leave
really
the calves
good.
And the cows, so it's like a happy cheese. And and then crispy lettuce and a little drizzle of balsamic on the lettuce, so yeah. But any day it could be different.
I love that you called that happy cheese.
Yeah.
Happy cheese, mm-hmm. keeping the cows and the calves.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I did spot some crisps in your kitchen. I would love to shove some crisps in there. But it might be a bit loud for
those
recording.
Crisps that you saw were actually pizza flavoured.
Yeah.
So that would have been a real
problem. Oh, and then I've brought you something from the new cookbook. This is like a chickpea tuna type of, it's not tuna, but it's like mixed together like a tuna filling.
Oh my God.
Which is another thing. So anything schmussed in between two pieces of bread is my comfort food.
I'm going instinctively in for the chickpea tuna.
Mm.
First chickpea tuna ever to be on comfort eating.
I like a deep sandwich.
I'm wearing my glasses, and what I'm going to say is, after eating one of your sandwiches, all I can see is two big smears of mayonnaise at the front. Your parents, Paul and Linda McCartney, famously vegetarians long before it was popular, long before it was a thing that people spoke about. Your mum, Linda, pioneered a vegetarian food range. Being veggie in the 70s, before your mum founded that company, what do you remember of eating as a family?
Mum and Dad, when we became veggie, they said, look, we don't want to feel like we're missing out. Mm. So it was a lot of remembering Mum and Dad talking about, like, what are we going to have for Christmas dinner? What are we going to have? You know, so it really normalized it. Mm. Eating out was a different thing, quite difficult.
Go into a local restaurant. What did they think when you all marched in?
It was more the food. It was just like back then, it was a lot of ratatouille and sort of nuked vegetables and stuffed red peppers and stuff.
Ratatouille.
But yeah. I mean, watching the movie Ratatouille really makes me want to eat ratatouille, but because that's beautiful. But that's not what I grew up eating in the like 70s and 80s.
At home, what were the staples around the table?
Well, I mean, like I've brought you sandwiches, and also because my mum was American, big chef salad. We had a big wooden salad bowl, and inside it, she'd put like the contents of the kitchen in, you know, chopped up. So it would be like lettuce and bits of avocado and bits of cheese.
You didn't want to miss out. Did you feel like you missed out?
I think eating out was more difficult, but at home it was fun. And my mum would always make the kitchen the most fun part of the house. So we'd be there and I'd help her chop and cook. And then when we got older, she would request things. She'd be like, tonight, can you guys make a fresh pesto or something? And birthdays, you could have anything you wanted, whoever's birthday it was.
What did you ask for on your birthday?
Well, I would often do, I loved my mum's cream of tomato soup. And then she made a really incredible quiche that you'd get it out of the oven and it would rise like a souffle.
Yes. You were born in London and your dad, not to put a fine point in it, so he's a big rock star. Your parents tried to keep it as normal as possible for you and your siblings, for Heather, for Stella, James, Beatrice. But as you've grown up, are there memories that come back and you think, actually, that wasn't normal?
There are situations like growing up, we would go on tour with Mum and Dad. So those things are interesting memories. And I think even though my mum was who she was, my dad is who he is, they were quite approachable and relaxed. You know, we would sit having dinner on our laps, watching the telly and stuff. So,
yeah, it's kind of normal snapshot of family life.
I know it doesn't feel normal, but I mean, things like as a kid, I'd be watching EastEnders and Dad would come in, I'd be eating and he'd come in and he'd start playing guitar.
Yeah.
And then we'd be like, I'm trying to watch the TV. But I was like, Dad, just like another time.
I suppose your parents trying to do anything that's kind of meaningful and soulful is embarrassing when you're 12 or 13.
Well, now I'm that embarrassing parent.
When you were living with your whole family, was it the kind of house where people came around, or were you, some places are and some places aren't? Like my mum and dad did not like the pop in of people.
Yeah.
It was quite a quiet house.
Yeah.
What kind of house was yours?
It wasn't like a pop in. It was social, but it was more planned social.
Yeah.
But I do have friends where it is just like open house.
Yeah, you see, I can't cope with that.
Well, I kind of want to be like that though, don't you?
Absolutely. In my dreams, if I do home alteration, I do it for the imaginary me who wants people to come round.
100%. I do the same. And also because I have that Liverpool background. So like for New Year's, we'd always go to like family parties up in Liverpool. And they were some of my best favourite memories ever.
Yes. So we've both got, well, my dad's passed away now, but Scouse dads.
We like Scouse dads.
Scouse dads, and I'm always interested to see my my dad in the 70s, when he ever did childcare, looking after his own child, he only had two recipes up his sleeve, and one was beans on fried bread.
Yeah.
And the other...
By the way, yum.
Delicious.
I would eat that now.
Delicious. And the other was beans, again, flung into his version of spag bol.
Mm-hmm.
So...
All based around beans then?
All based, just a lot of beans. I'm kind of wondering, did your dad have any recipes up his sleeve in the 70s?
Yes, his recipe that I learned from him was his mashed potatoes. Ooh. Because they're like proper, just really mashed. I think one of the secret things he does is uses a fork after at the end just to fluff it up. Yes. So he uses a traditional masher and then at the end fluffs it to get any other little bits out.
I love how men will just do that one thing really well. So therefore that becomes their thing. So the woman's running around with 11 pans on the go, but then they go, just let dad do his mash. You know, yeah. It's that. And it was the same with my dad, yeah. with Brussels sprouts. If we were having like a massive meal, he would just do the sprouts very quietly,
yeah.
But for about 3.5 hours while listening.
How do you feel about Brussels sprouts?
I love them, but I am wary of them. I think
that's a good answer.
I think, if I'm not going to put too fine a point in it, I feel like we know each other now. I think that they create violent wind.
Yeah, they can be smelly. They can even be smelly when they're cooking.
They're smelly when they're cooking. And then what happens is they come out and you put a load of something oily on them and some salt. And then you eat them and you have another and you have one. And you go, this is delicious. They're not as bad as they were in the 70s. And you eat another and another. And then you go into the lounge for the rest of the Christmas day in a very
Crack open a window.
And you're trying to watch Wallace and Gromit on the television. And you just think, this is ridiculous.
Mm. My dad always like, oh, they're like a perfect little miniature cabbage. And I love cabbage, but I love them sort of shredded, cut really thinly. Yes. And then I make them into like a stir fry for Christmas. So you only cook them for a second so they don't get too overcooked. And see, then I love them.
I'm going to say that al dente Brussels sprouts may be the most lethal wind-wise of all, though. Nobody's
the way I do it. They're less. I don't remember getting wind from them, though. I'm gonna have to experiment.
If I ate them, I would just immediately go upstairs.
Oh my God.
And then just hide until maybe the day after Boxing Day.
I'm never making you that. Almost, I think the meals after Christmas are possibly more delicious.
But do you know why you think? Because I agree. And why we think that is because we're antisocial and everyone's gone by that point, right?
So and we love do that in front of the TV.
So we love the idea of Christmas and being bountiful. Everybody come, but the most delicious part is the one that you eat directly from the fridge when you've literally just got two roast potatoes on a plate.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Grace Dent here. One more thing. If you love comfort eating, then you'll love my new book, Comfort Eating, What We Eat When No One's Looking. It's available order now. There's an ebook and an audiobook if you want me to read it to you, with chapter headings like Why Butter Makes Everything Better and Why Potatoes Are Proof of a Higher Power, How Can You Resist? Comfort Eating is packed with funny, moving stories about my family and my childhood, as well as recipes and stories about recording the show.
you spent a lot of your summers as a family up in Scotland on High Park Farm, a remote place surrounded by chickens and dogs and ponies. What do you remember from those summers?
It was a tiny house. I shared the room with my siblings. It had two bedrooms, a teeny bathroom, and the kitchen living area. So it was very compact. The thing that came to mind is being outside, and because it was a farm, you could go out all day exploring and building camps. But I mean, the main thing was we had horses, and I just learned to ride by being on a horse, riding out, the horse chucking me off, me having to walk home, and then learning to ride that way, like, oh, next time, like, I'll hold on better. And so it's just like this big adventure of trial and error and nature, the pleasure of being in nature, like riding through bracken and little rivers. And I'd keep little bottles of apple juice in the river to keep it chilled, and then go back and like do imaginary games. One time it went fizzy, probably because it had gone off a bit, but then it felt like cider or something. So yeah, that was like an adventure to me. Often my sister Stella by my side.
That would never happen now, that people would say, just take the horse out.
Yeah.
And if it throws you off.
I know.
What effect did it have on the family dynamic when you all decamp into this wild space?
It was relaxed, but also, in a way, I'm going to use the B word, there were like really boring moments. Yes. There were no iPhones or iPads. So it was actually really great. It was, I would engage my imagination.
Sometimes, and now, I try to work out what we actually did.
But don't you have so many memories? Like when you say Scotland to me, I'm like, I can remember the blades of grass, the flowers, walking in a stream with my trousers rolled up, just daydreaming and not really doing much.
As a child, when did you begin to create things in the kitchen?
The first time was a bit of a disaster. It was in Scotland and I was so young, but I really remember it because I remember getting really excited and going around the kitchen, and my mum and dad were having tea with somebody. And I'm little because my viewpoint in my memory is looking up at the table. And I just went around and they were having like milky coffee and some cookie or something. And I mixed all of it together.
Yes.
And then pretended I baked it and then gave it to them. And that, you know, that thing where they lovingly like pretended it. But I knew it was absolutely disgusting. But it was so much fun.
There's nothing like your parents humouring you. When that arrives.
That's when you know you've got great parents. That was my first cooking experience, but it was inedible.
I know that a big influence on your cooking is America. And you spent so much time there as a kid. Your mum's family, they come from New York City and Long Island. I love the idea of London, Scotland, but then getting off the plane.
Yeah, loved it.
And loud.
The yellow taxis, the buildings, and the delis.
The delis, oh God, like, so that's
the pickles,
where the sandwiches,
the pickles.
That's where it all comes from.
It was like, we'd go all the time to visit my uncle, my grandfather, and my cousins. So my cousins were the same age as us, so they'd just take us out. The first thing we would do when we go to New York to visit my grandfather would be go to Mimi's Pizza and get a huge pizza.
Yes. The huge pizza that comes in the big...
They're huge. They're like 8 slices. In New York, you buy a pizza by the slice and like 1 or 2 slices is a whole meal. We would go there and it was just heaven, 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 heaven.
If you walked into Mimi's right now and sat down, what pizza are we ordering?
First of all, you wouldn't sit down because it's like counter service. It's like bustling New York. You go in, you kind of order it, you chat with them all. But I would just order just a regular slice.
What's on this slice?
Like a really great tomato sauce and just cheese.
I get anxiety sometimes when I first get to America. I get anxiety walking into these places because they have no patience with people.
Oh, no, yeah. You need to know what you're going for.
I've never been to Mimi's before. I haven't done any research. I walk in and I go... Hello. And then what do you want?
You need to sort of know how to
cut
through New York people and give it as good as they give it to you.
You see, then I suddenly just lose my northern accent and then just kind of start speaking louder and like Liz Hurley. And that's not, which is fine. But after a few sentences, I go back to being Carlisle.
But they won't understand you anyway.
Yeah. Ordering elevated. Water is difficult.
Water. Let's meet in New York and I'll take you around and I can be your translator.
Can you go in first to places?
We'll go in together and we'll just have a bit of fun.
You've said that as a kid, your mum and dad touring around the world with Wings. So do you tag along, hang out backstage? And I'm wondering, this is long before anybody put those headphones on people. Like, so first of all, I'm worried about your
My
ears.
Hearing, I know, it's amazing. I'm, touch wood, have really good hearing.
Yeah. You must have been left dancing by the bass bin a lot of times.
Yeah.
But you can hear.
Yeah. But most of the people that I love the most are half deaf, so I don't know how I've got away with that.
See, I've got like a rattly ear that I absolutely put down to raves I went to in 1992.
I've never been to a proper rave. I'm so gutted. I feel like I've missed out.
We could do that after we have pizza.
Can we do, you handle the rave, I'll handle the New York food deal.
The New York rave scene are not ready for two women, probably in heels and nice with nice handbags.
Or are they? I think they are.
So I'm thinking,
I want to do it now.
We're doing this. You've been a photographer for years and now.
Years and years.
But now. You have your own TV show. Mary McCartney serves it up. It is Emmy nominated, I might add. Did you find it hard moving from behind the camera to in front?
Yeah, it was really interesting and a huge learning curve because it's, you know, to do a recipe, to teach, show you a recipe, my real self would be like, Grace, like, right, just chill. Yes. Let's get this. Let's cook it. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Let's prep ahead. Yeah. Enjoy. But when they're cooking, the director be like, Mary, you need to perk up. Like, tell a story. Chop the onion. Tell a story. Do something. So it was sort of like chop and chat.
Yes.
And look into the camera, which made me feel a bit silly. But then I really got into it and I loved it. It became sort of quite addictive in a way. And it taught me a lot about the recipes that I now write. Because I just simplified them.
What people don't know about the chop and chat format on TV shows is that, so you have to simplify it so much to get it done in time. So you're then kind of filling in the gaps in what you're saying. But then when you take it over to people to eat, it's often not the actual recipe that you would have made at home.
Yeah, it's changed. But then I love those kind of challenges. So I've adapted it to being the same thing, but simplified, which actually has helped my style of writing. And my reason for doing this is simple, easy recipes and demystifying that kind of aspect of veggie cooking being more complicated. So
I don't know.
It's actually benefited me.
I've eaten some pretty ropey things on TV.
I love that.
I
love watching, but that's, I love watching
when the chef goes,
you
go, and they put it down on some kind of live television show and you think absolutely none of that spring onion is cooked and that is raw and
but
that, and you have to go,
can I tell you? All the stuff that I made is real and we would do it and eat it. But there's one thing that we didn't get on camera, which really to this day is just like comes into my mind, is the first episode I had Stanley Tucci came on as a guest and I made him this black bean burger and he's not veggie. So I was fully aware that I was giving Stanley Tucci a black bean burger, similar to the style of my sandwich I brought you today. It's like stacked with, you know, all the trimmings.
Yeah.
And we weren't filming, but he took a bite and I saw that look come over his face. And he looked at me and he said, this is one of my top five burgers I've ever eaten. And we didn't film it. But it doesn't matter because I could see that it was a success.
Does it matter though?
Well, it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't because I've grown up as a photographer and you miss those moments. And my mum would always say to me, if you miss something, she's like, it's a soul camera moment. So I have it etched in my mind as this thing. And I've just said it on your show. So now it's in the world. God, it's in the world as something that happened.
It's a soul camera moment. It's just made my face just, it's such a lovely.
And it makes everything better because you're like, oh, I can remember that. I can feel it.
For your new cookbook, which is absolutely remarkable. I'm not just saying that.
I'm so pleased.
Oh, I just read it agog. You've cooked for everybody. You've cooked for Liv Tyler, Bryan Adams, Cameron Diaz, the list goes on. Who's been the most awkward person to cook for?
Ooh, well, in a brilliant way, I have to say Dame Judi Dench. I'm sorry because I'm obsessed with her. But what I love is there was a message with a list of the things that she didn't like to eat and an apology sort of saying, now that you've seen this list, you may have regret having ever asked me. So
can I guess,
that was brilliant. It were like...
Is it chives? It
was a lot of things like red peppers or chili and things. One thing she didn't like that I really is etched in my mind is carrots, because I actually made her my shortcut apple tart, which has four ingredients, and I knew she'd like that. But I then decided, because I packed it up and took it to her home, I made like this big sort of minestrone soup, and I checked the list and I put carrots in because it wasn't on the list. But then she sort of looked and I was like, if I put something in, and she was like, well, carrots. But it was the cutest thing because she was like, my reason for not liking carrots is because when I was a kid, like, you'd cut into them and they looked like twigs inside. So I just loved her even more.
I absolutely love the phrase soul camera that you say that your mum talked about. So in 98, you lose your mum. We both lost our mums from breast cancer. You were 29.
It's rubbish, isn't it?
Oh, God. I can tell you how we coped as a family. I don't know if we did. I mean, it's like...
I don't know why I'm laughing, because I feel like there's going to be something bizarre that I wouldn't have expected as your coping mechanism.
Oh, God. Work? Never stopped. As long as you just keep on working, then you don't actually have to... Well, my father was like that too.
I think my mum died in like mid-April. So one thing that helped was the time of year. I remember it being like the bluebells were out in the woods. And I remember looking up and there being like blue skies and nature. And that kind of helped a bit because I was like, oh, well, things, you know, it felt like a real sort of regenerative time of year and flowers blossoming and, you know, the breeze in the trees. So if I get sad, I do a lot of, I've become a tree hugger. I search out trees and walks and nature. Because then you feel bigger picture, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I am now, I have a vision in my head of you just clutching an oak tree while your children go, oh, for the love of God.
Only because the first time I ever did it, there was a tree and I swear his arms were stretched out at me and I was walking my dog on my own. So I was like, fine, his arms are beckoning me in. So I actually did give it a cheeky little hug, but I was on my own. So nobody else saw.
Were you on acid?
No, I wasn't. It was completely, I was on a coffee, I think.
I was on a double macchiato.
I was on a coffee.
You've got four boys.
I know.
Two boys with your first husband, two boys with your second husband.
They range from 12 up to 24.
I can't even imagine a house with four boys and a husband. I'm thinking, a lot of...
And a dog. I thrive on chaos and it's busy and noisy and we talk over each other. And
Do any of them replace the toilet roll by themselves?
They I would like to say they do. And one thing I learnt was that they pick up their own towels off the bottom floor, which that. I'm very proud of myself. I think that's one of my best parenting moments. They hang up their own towels. I couldn't imagine them going, like, when they're older, going to people's houses and just leaving everything on the floor. So, yeah, that's Mary's parenting technique.
For short book.
Feed them and get them to hang up their towels. There you go.
Tell me one thing that is a tradition that you emulate from your family life when you were a kid, and one new tradition from now.
Well, talking about our mums, what I try and always do with them is celebrate her birthday. So I'll be like, look, where do you want to go? We can go anywhere you want to eat, or I'll make anything you want, or I'll get like a birthday cake and balloons and try and make things nice. So that's a new tradition. Yeah. And then older tradition, I mean, it all goes back to sandwiches and bagels.
Yeah.
And then traditionally it would be that moment that I touched on earlier, is on our birthdays, you get to just have exactly what you want. And my mum taught me this thing, which I make a lot for birthday occasions, which is like an ice cream cake. Mm. But it's so genius because it's more of an assembly job.
Yes.
So
go on.
That's
go on. This, so you I get need to have tin, this up my sleeve. Go on.
You get like a cake tin and you line it with parchment and then you buy any loaf cake that you like a Madeira cake, anyone you want. Mm. And you just slice it into like 1 centimeter, 1/2 inch pieces, and you overlap it like shingle, like a tile, because you don't want gaps. And you just smush it down on the bottom and then around the sides. So it's like a pie crust. It covers all of the cake tin. And then you get like 3 tubs of your favorite ice cream.
Oh, this is genius.
So like chocolate, strawberry, mint choc chip, and let it soften enough that it spoons out easily. Put it all into the middle and then put it into the freezer and push it all down. So you've got the loaf cake crust, the ice cream all filling all of the middle, and then put it back into the freezer and freeze it solid. And then make like just a normal icing.
Just a normal kind of...
butter or that. I love that Flora plant butter.
Yes.
That with icing sugar and a little bit of vanilla extract and beaten, so it's nice and fluffy. And then you take out the frozen cake and you turn it upside down, peel off the parchment, and then just ice it. And then put it back in the freezer and decorate it with loads of sprinkles.
And it looks as if...
So it looks like a normal cake.
And it looks like you have just... sweated over this cake.
It's literally fun to make. So when you slice into it, you just get it out when you're ready to eat, and you just slice in, and it's sort of icing, loaf, ice cream, joy. I should have brought you that, shouldn't I?
This interview must come to a close. We're coming to the end. I really want to know, has being part of a very famous family, has it been the biggest privilege of your life, or is it sometimes the bane of your life, or is it both?
I think if I had to choose, I would say it's a privilege, because I'm very proud. And now, asking me now, I would say it's a privilege. I mean, growing up, I may have said both. But, you know, I'm super proud of my family, and I'm really inspired by my family. And they've kind of made me the person I am. So I'm going to go with privileged and happy.
Yeah. I was going to hear this, so what are you going to say?
I know exactly. I'm like, in case Dad hears. Do you think I'm stupid? Gosh, really, literally. Why would I say anything else?
Mary McCartney, thank you so much for your sandwich. Should we go to New York now?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go get a slice.
This episode of Comfort Eating was produced by Ruth Abrahams. The executive producer is Lucy Greenwell. The music was written by Axel Cacoutier. Mixing and sound design was by Solomon King. If you love Comfort Eating, then please go and leave us a review and a rating. It is so helpful to us. And you can follow or subscribe so you never miss a single episode. See you next week.
This is The Guardian.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.